Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Oh, thank you, son. That's good right there. Somewhere in this place here. Y'all can have a seat this morning. How many of you do know we just sang a word that is so true? Our God, say my God, turns armies out of dead bones. I mean, I said it backwards, but he turns dead bones into armies. Amen? You know, I can't help but when I hear that song to think about the prophet going down there and he looks out there over the valley of dry bones and he says, can they be an army? Basically, he asked him. He said, can they live? And he said, only you know, Lord. How many of you has ever been asked a question by God and it was like, is this a trick question or not? You know, I mean, you just don't know. But God knows, doesn't he? And you know, when he does that, he wants to show us something. He wants to reveal himself to us in such a manner, if we'll only take the time and say, Lord, I'm here. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. How many of you want to hear this morning? Amen, amen. Well, glory to God. Well, I hope and pray that all of you had a blessed Christmas. And if you were worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you had a blessed Christmas. And I was able to have family and friends and over to the house and things like that. I know everybody is social distancing the best they can. And, you know, my family was basically who we had to the house, and it was good. Had a great time, stayed all day. I went to sleep in part of it. Well, of course, so did everybody else. Tyler crashed for I don't know how long, just passed out, you know. It's like, what's the deal with this? You know, he's a young buck. He ought to been up, you know, running, but he wasn't. But anyway, we had a great Christmas. I want to welcome all those that are online this morning and say we're glad to have you with us. Thank you for the technology that God's provided us with so we can all be able to hear the Word of God in times that we're living in, you know, where all kind of things are taking place. Amen? If you were going to title today's message, I guess it'd be Settle It Now. You know, I don't know why, but I just wrote that down before I came up here. I guess we just need to settle it now. Is Jesus Lord or not? Settle it now. Settle it now. You know, 2020 started out a little different. You know, I was looking at 2020 and I was thinking about it and I said, you know, I know what you're saying. It's the year of vision. 2020, a year of vision. I had no idea what vision the Lord was talking about, revealing. And what I've come to realize that in 2020, the Lord's been able to reveal us to us. Reveal who we are, where our faith is. It's kind of like a marker on the highway that says, Montgomery, so many miles. This is where you're located. How many of you know that this year has been is like that to us? You know, it will locate you in where we are. It's not a bad thing. I think location is a great thing because how do you know which way to go if you don't know where you are? You know, there's a lot of people that think they're way somewhere else and they find out they're not. And I've traveled the roads before and all of a sudden be asking myself, where am I? I've traveled the road many, many years, you know, on a constant basis, and all of a sudden I'm like, where am I? You ever been daydreaming like that? You know, you're paying attention driving, but you're just daydreaming, and you're familiar with the road. You know that you stay on this road, you're going to come to blank town, you know, whatever town it is. But yet as you're driving, it's like something looks different. Where am I? I know I should be between this point and this point, but where am I? You know, and sometimes that's the way it is in life. We'll be cruising right along and we'll have to start questioning. I said, where am I? What is going on? And, you know, 2020, though, this year, you know, it started out pretty good. I mean, everybody was excited about 2020. A new decade. Not only a new year, but it was a new decade. And it, you know, just sounded good. You know, it was just the whole sound of 2020. You know, it was like one of those things of you can accomplish anything in 2020. You know, that's just the way it started out, and everybody was geared up for it. And it was a year of new adventures, you know, new discoveries, new opportunities. It was newness. Let's do it. And everybody was just great. And how many of you know that it wasn't so amazing come about March, April, May, June? Things didn't seem to go the way we'd anticipated at the first of the year. And you know what? Not only did it not go so well in March, April, May, and June, it just didn't even seem to finish out that way very well either. You know, here it is, December, and still going on. And, you know, with the different things. And you know, at the first of the year, really, all thing in our country that we were dealing with was, well, a couple of things, was a trade war with China and them trying to impeach our president for not doing it, you know, for not doing what he was accused of doing. And, you know, that didn't last very long. But immediately upon the coattails of that, COVID-19 hit, you know, right there in February. And I want to say there was just a few cases, very, very few, in the whole country. I'm aiming, you know, probably less than 100. I don't even know if it's that many. And then all of a sudden in March, it began to grow. April, May, June. Before we knew it, there was, you know, the infection was skyrocketing across our country, but most of us was not even aware of it there at the beginning. That was something that was happening in New York City and something that was happening in, on the West Coast and over in China and Italy and different places. It was not something that was going to touch rural Alabama. You know, that was way off. That was somewhere else, and, you know, that had nothing to do with us. And but we found out quickly that it did. Rates started skyrocketing. Next thing you know, there was what? Lockdowns. Had lockdowns. Stay-at-home orders. People didn't like to be told to stay home. Told to wear a mask. Then there was a crisis. Didn't have enough ventilators. Had to make the businesses decide to, you're not going to produce cars anymore. You're going to start producing ventilators. You're not going to produce this anymore, GE. You're going to start producing this and government orders. And then there was the riots. And then we've had the burning of buildings. There's been, of course, all kind of things that's taken place from there. Chaos. Statues overturned. And you couldn't help but stop in the middle of all this and say, what in the world is going on? What is going on? I mean, most of the time when we have something that's took place in our lifetime, such as the stock market crash, you know, and back in 2008, guess what? People lost jobs, people lost money, but we still had groceries. Huh? We still had certain things that we could count on. We could go to the store and buy toilet paper. Right? Yeah, but not with this. I mean, we've had housing crisis, dot-com crisis, all wars, 9/11, all kind of things, and not belittling any of those things. But this, I mean, we knew with those things, well, it was coming to an end. We could see what the problem was. But this, totally different. So not only did we have all of that going, then we had job losses, stock market plummets. Churches are closed. Can't go to funerals. Can't do weddings. Restaurants are closed. Sports venues are closed and canceled. And then, guess what happens? You had the elections. And they were about as confusing as anything the whole year. And then here towards the end, we have a second wave of the first wave. More delays, more closings, more things is taking place. Matter of fact, it's become a joke. You don't have to look far. You don't have to listen hard. You'll find somebody say, well, it's 2020. Well, you know, blame that on COVID. I was watching part of a football game last night where Liberty was playing Coastal Carolina, and there was a play right at the very end of the game, and it was a fumble, which shouldn't have happened, but it did. And the announcer said, well, it's COVID. It's COVID. That's what caused that. How many of you found yourselves hearing people say that, or maybe have said it yourself? Well, you know, it's 2020. You know, you just can't wait to get rid of 2020. Let's blame it all on COVID and blame it all on 2020. And that's become a joke. And at the same time, it's not a joke. This thing is not going to go away next week. As much as we would like, and the general mood of a lot of people is that when the clock strikes 12 on January 1st, that this is all in the rearview mirror. 2020 is now history. It's magically all gone. We all return back to normal, and we live like it never happened. Well, guess what? That's simply not true. It's not true. And in our country, we've never faced something like this before. This stretched out and continued on and on and on during our particular lifetime. A lot of things have happened, but not like this. You know, and as I was out the other day, I thought, well, today would be a good day to trim the crepe myrtles at the house. And so I got the 10-foot ladder out, the step ladder, and climbed up there and got it all cut off and did it everything, put it on the little tarp, pulled it down, threw it over into the burn pile place, and went around to the side of the house, which is on a slope, and decided I'd start over there. Put the ladder up, checked it out, made sure it was good and sturdy. It was. And it wasn't going to fall. So I climbed up, and I got up probably about, my feet was about 6.5 feet above the, off the ground. And so I'm cutting them off, cutting the lobbers, you know, lopping them off. And I got this bright idea that I would take one of my feet, my right foot, and stick it into the trees. You know, I have a crepe myrtle, they have all the, I could just stick it right up in there and get me a little bit more leverage and can extend without having to move the ladder. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? Every man in here knows, and every woman in here saying, I told you not to do it. But we did it. You know, I got it over there. Marcia had just left, so I knew I wasn't going to get in trouble. She wasn't there. I'm by myself. And I put my foot there, and I'm going, and I'm doing real well. Well, then I decided, you know, I'm just going to put it in there a little bit more. And Holy Spirit inside says, no, don't do that. And I'm looking, and he says, if you slip, if your foot slides forward, it will go down between them, and if you fall off the ladder, it could snap your leg. And I thought, that sounds like I'm going to move that back. I'm going to put it back where it belongs. Got it right where, you know, I was at safely before, and I'm doing it. And the leg that was on the ladder slipped off. Not this one. Not the one that's in the tree. But the one that was on the ladder. So here it is. I'm up about 6.5 feet in the air. And as I'm falling straight down, I grabbed a hold of where, you know, how you top the crepe myrtles, they'll have a little hump like there. I grabbed a hold of it with my arm. It was basically about right here. And I watched my arm as I was falling go just like this, straight up. And held me and bounced, which that only left my feet being about this far off the ground. Maybe a foot and a half, which I fell the foot and a half. You know, because it just jerked, stopped, and hit. I'm on a hill, so guess what? You know, you fall all the way down. You just do your little roll. No big deal, right? Right. You're supposed to say right. And everything was great until my head hit the brick wall of the house. No, I didn't see stars. I saw the entire universe. There was a knot popped up. I got up, and I'm like walking around with my hands on my head. I'm like, well, my arms are fine. My legs are good. Nothing's happened, but boy, my head is hurting. And I'm reaching back there, and I don't feel it because it's cold. Took my hands off of it, and I don't feel any warmth, so I knew that blood was not running down the back of my head. And no, I didn't bother to go check to see if I broke the brick. But I did begin thanking the Lord. And I knew that, boy, that was a hard hit against that brick wall. So I go back before, you know, you start getting sore and stiff and things like what's going to take place when you do something as dumb as that. And I climb back up the ladder. I repositioned that ladder, climb back up it, but well, I needed to finish. I mean, it was like a horse. You fall off, you don't just quit. You got to finish. So I climbed back up there, finished getting the other ones off, put it on the tarp, pulled the tarp down to where my pile was, threw them over the fence. And, of course, by this time, I could reach back there, and my hat didn't fit too well. There was a knot back there. I'm talking big. I've never had a knot on the head that big. And the devil begins to talk to you. You know you got a concussion. You need to go to the doctor. Because if you don't go to the doctor and you go to sleep, you might not ever wake up. And your wife will spend all your money. She would, but I mean, she's going to do it anyway. But, you know, he didn't say that part. But he did say about the whole other part. So I thought, well, I don't need to go to sleep. I have a dental appointment this afternoon. I need to get to stay awake. And so I thought, well, I'll just blow leaves off for a while. So I did that and all. Well, that goose egg back there, it stayed around. It's a little tender still today, which is be a week tomorrow. But it finally went down. My hat fits right now. Didn't have to enlarge it. And the thought came, what in the world is going on? And I thought about, is this 2020? I wanted to say, I would be glad when this year's gone. But I didn't. I knew it wasn't the year's fault. COVID had nothing to do with me falling off the ladder. 2020 had nothing to do with me falling off the ladder. Everything had to do with me. It was just, it was something that happened. Thought I was safe. For some reason, my foot just slipped off the ladder. But as I did so, I thought, well, I'm going to get on the mower and just kind of ride around and blow the leaves since it was a big area down there. And I'll stay awake because nobody's home. And if I did sit down, I don't need to be going to sleep because I need to be awake for a while after a big goose egg like that. So I decided to ride around. And as I did, I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. And I prayed, and I mean for hours, just praying in the Holy Ghost, singing in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord began to reveal some things to me. Matter of fact, I'll share some of them with you today. And matter of fact, he revealed some things that he says, this is what I want to be taught and brought forth in 2021. So it's nothing like redeeming the time, right? You just go ahead and pray. So I just was having a great time out there riding around. Didn't have a headache. Nothing was going on. I thought, well, this is great. You know, I like this. But what he said to me was this particular verse. And he said, make sure you let the people know this. Because next week, they're going to be thinking in their mind that, you know, when we turn that page on that calendar to 2021, all this will be through. Now, we know better. But there's this thought in our head that that's what happens. And he said, I want you to jumpstart everybody with this particular verse. So if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 1, we see here, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. So as we see this, that if you don't consider Jesus, if you don't look to him, because of all the trials, the tribulations, the things that we're going through, he said if you don't look to him, you could become weary and begin to faint in your minds or faint in your minds. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, back up a little bit, Alan. I want you to see something here. And it says, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. How many of you know that does not only talk about the people that on planet Earth today, your neighbors and your people you work with and all as being a group of witnesses, but also all those that are in heaven. A great cloud of witnesses up there that's lived through trials and tribulations themselves. He just went through talking about it in Hebrews 11, where we hear the roll call of faith with Abraham and Noah and Enoch and David and Samson and Moses and all the rest of them, all these things being said. And here it is. He said, all of them are watching. You're encompassed about by all of these witnesses. And he says, you need to do something because all of them are watching. Everybody's watching you. And in the middle of this, he said, lay aside every weight, every burden, every hindrance. Lay them aside. How many of you know that our attitude about the year 2020 can be a hindrance as we go into 2021? All the disappointments that you've had, all the times you had to find your mask and then put it on, or the loved one that got COVID-19 and had to go to the hospital, and all that, and you know, because I believe probably most of the people in this area, when it first started, I don't believe anybody really believed it was any big deal. You know why? Because we'd never had experienced it before. Don't beat yourself up. Fact is, you know what? We're not there anymore. We see that it is dangerous. We all know people that have probably died or been extremely ill with this. Close people, family, friends, church members, classmates. It's touched us all. And so at one point, we might have all been sitting around, well, it's just a bad flu. We don't really know anything about it. And that was just where we were. But that's not where we are now. But nevertheless, we've got all these hindrances, all the things that's happened this past year. I don't know about you, but I wasn't real thrilled with them toppling of statues. I wasn't the only one. All the pigeons across our land were upset. They didn't like it either. I didn't like them looting, rioting, burning places down, running around chaotic. I had to hold my tongue or bite my tongue because I would like to have said a lot of things. I was more in line with our president. Just get the National Guard out there, lock all of them up, and just throw away the key. Give them all the tickets, let them go somewhere else. They want to live some other country, let them go. I mean, but being the pastor, I don't need to say those kind of things, do I? Well, it's too late, I already did. Just did it again, okay? But that could become a hindrance to us, right? We don't need to carry that in. I mean, does the word say or does it not say? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the who? To the devil. So as we harbor this kind of thinking, as we walk around in our daily life thinking about what took place over this past year, and we hadn't resolved these things, we have given place to the devil. Why? To torment your mind, to change how you would respond, to affect your thinking going forward. We opened the door. Why? Because we took offense to it. Sanctuary cities. Defund the police. I just have to say, I haven't heard such stupidity, and I don't know when. But this was going on daily. Not like some other crisis that we've all had at different times in our lives. This was a daily occurrence through the entire year 2020. It doesn't make any difference. And we've come to a place where it's like, it's a joke. And it's no joke. It's not a joke. So we are to do what? Lay aside every one of these burdens and these hindrances. Because they have become hindrances to our thinking, to our believing. He said, lay these things down. Yes. Get rid of them. Yes. Get away from it. And the sin which so easily besets us. In other words, the sin which so easily entangles us. The sin of what? The sin. It's the sin of unbelief that God's word is true. Because these hindrances wanted to challenge God's word. They're there saying, God's word isn't true. I know that's what it says, but it's not true. And it's there. That's why it's constantly bombarding you. It's trying to entangle you. It's trying to hold you back and say, no, it surrounds you. That word beset is means well standing all around you. It describes sin having advantage over us and prevailing. Vine says that it's the favor of the sin of its prevailing. And NIV says entangles us. And it says, let us run with patience or cheerful endurance the race that is set before us. The Amplified says it this way, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Then it goes on and Amplified says, looking away from all that would distract. How many of you know these hindrances, these burdens will distract you from where you are now, where we're going? We don't need to be carrying this junk into next Friday. We shouldn't have been carrying it all along. But if you've got it, and you've got these attitudes, if you've got these things that haven't been dealt with, that's why I said settle it now. Get rid of it. I mean, if the government would say, if you've got COVID and you're here in Montgomery, Alabama, and you get on a plane and you fly to New York, will you automatically not have COVID when you get to New York because it's something that you had in Alabama? No. They say you're not going anywhere. But for some dumb reason, we want to think, well, next Friday, no, this affects us. If it's in you now and you don't get rid of it, it will be in you Friday. You will enter into a new year, a new season, expecting different results, carrying the same garbage with you, planting seeds of faith in the same soil of compromise, unbelief, burdens and hardships. We need to settle it now. Who is Lord? Is it Jesus? Is he Lord? Or the circumstances, the burdens and hindrances, Lord? It says, looking away from all that distracts to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and it is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. For the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of you realize that you are where you are because God has you here at this time in your life? Huh? Getting ahead of myself a little bit with the message, but you need to recognize he could have had you born anytime. But he said, no, this time. For such a time as this. Verse 3, it says, just think of him, being Jesus, who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials. Oh. Has anybody opposed you like they have him? Has anybody been so bitter and had so much hostility towards you that was greater than what Jesus had to endure? Well, we need to is look to him and say, Jesus, show us the way. We need to be followers of you. I need to know how you did it so that I don't hit somebody in the head, right? Or say something you don't need to say. And it says, reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. That's what's taking place with those that are not saved and those that are in the church. Both. People are what? They're fainting in their minds. Why? Because it's just continually going on and on and on and on. You know, yesterday I came across a particular scripture verse that as I was studying it, I didn't set out to look at this particular one, but it rose up in me as I was studying, and I thought, is that in the Bible, really? It's almost like hearing Kim Clout say, is that in the Bible? It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 34. And Jesus said this. You can turn there if you'd like. Put it on the overhead if you'd like. This is what it says, Matthew 10, 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. That's the Amplified. King James says, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Just last week, we were all reading the Christmas story where the angels were singing what? Peace has come. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yet Jesus said, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace on earth. And if you don't like that one, you're surely not going to much care for what Luke had to say about the same incident. It was over in Luke, I think it's 10. No, Luke 12. It says, I've come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it will be accomplished. Suppose ye that I've come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. That's what Jesus had to say about it. You realize that many times we read something like that and was like, well, wait a minute. We just read the Christmas story and we found that we're supposed to have peace. That's because you are not translating what was spoken of by Jesus in chapter 10 of Matthew and in chapter 12 of Luke with what is going on. See, if you take it out of context, you'll say, well, I thought he was the Prince of Peace. He says he'd come to bring division. That's not what he was saying. If you read it out and you study it out, you would see that the words used here are different than what we would think. He says, think not I've come to send peace on earth. He said, the word shalom is not the word that he was using. That would mean safe and well and happy and friendly and health and prosperity and peace, right? The word was irene, which does not mean that. He said, don't think I've come to bring you irene. I didn't bring that. I didn't come for that. Irene means peace with implications of prosperity without all the rest. And then it doesn't stop there, because when it says peace on earth, the word earth is not earth as the world we would say, but it was Tigri, which is our region of where we live. Just where we live. And what he was saying was, is don't think that I've come to make you a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and religious sect. Don't think I've come just to pat y'all on the back, make you feel good and prosper you and let the whole world go to hell. That's not what I've come for. That's what he was saying. He did come to bring us peace. He did come to bring us happy, make us happy and fulfilled and full of joy and prosperity and healing. That's why he did come. But for us to think that he just came to make the church happy and make you happy right where you are, I'm going to be blessed, it's not going to have nothing to do with anybody else. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not taking away your walk with God. But I'm just telling you, this is what happened. And what I'm trying to bring out to us today is there's things that take place and nothing, absolutely nothing, should shake you with your relationship with God. So let's just continue on with this a minute. Like I said, there's a general mood across our land, maybe across the entire world, which we all know better, that come Friday of next week, all this doesn't go away. But what happens that if next week or in the next couple of weeks that everything doesn't work out on our timetable, but continues just like they are. What happens then? I mean, after all, when I read in the Bible, there we just read the story of baby Jesus. And here he was, precious as can be, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. And a madman named Herod decided he was going to kill every baby 2 years and under. I suppose Jesus had a little rough time too. How many think that it affected a lot of families to kill all those babies that were born, every male, for 2 years and younger? But peace had come to earth. So when we look at that, we're like, well, wait a minute. So how long will this last? Like I said, we're used to having things over with in just a matter of a couple of weeks. Maybe it was like, could it be that it'd be like it was with Joseph? Maybe the crops won't grow this summer, and we'll have 7 years of no crops. Crop failures happened before, did it not? Did God allow it? Did God not prepare his people for it? What happens if the economy in people's lives doesn't rebound? Could it happen? Has happened before. And what we need to realize and not live in fear and settle it now, Jesus is my Lord. Yes. He is my Lord. He is going to take care of me. I will prosper to the point where I'll have more than enough to be able to help others. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
There's no guarantee that this is not going to last a little bit longer than the vaccine gets out. What will it be next year that'll crop up and run for a while everybody is weary and weak in faith, fainting in their minds? What will it be then? I mean, we've dealt with one disaster after another this year. People, election fraud, all kind of, there's just division everywhere. But I think everybody can be on the same page when it comes to this year stinks. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on or what anybody's, they're just not happy with this year. But it's not the timetable, it's what's happened during this period of time. It's like everything just happened at once. We need to understand that it happened before, it could happen again. Do you think that it happened and that it were exempt? Did it not happen to the early church? The early church, I mean, church history tells us that things were going pretty bad there when Jesus died, and they started having revival, people started getting saved, and then under Nero, guess what happened? It got worse. Things got real bad, and they started persecuting the Christians. We hadn't had to experience that like they have in other lands, but we have a tendency not to think about it from terms of the whole world, but just where we live. Remember what I said earlier? Bless, bring prosperity and peace to my region. And he said, I didn't come to bring it just to your region. You follow what I'm saying? What else does the Bible say about that sword? Does it not say that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword? Dividing asunder what? The joints and the marrows, the thoughts and intents of our own heart? So when we look back at 2020 as a year of vision, we can begin to see that the Word of God, compared to what we're experiencing, is doing what? It's dividing asunder the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. It's revealing us to us. Because we got the Word of God here that says this, and then here's my experience, which is true. The Word of God. Because it's never going away. My experience will change. But my hope's always going to be in Him. My faith is in Christ. See, the persecution didn't stop in a week, 2 weeks, not with Nero. I mean, it was 64 A.D., and it was going strong. And there for a while, they endured these hardships for a while, and you would think that you know, surely this will end. But let me read to you one of the reports that took place back then. It says, in their very deaths, they were made subjects of sport, for they were covered with the hides of wild beasts and worried to death by dogs, or nailed to crosses, or set to fire, and when the day waned, burned to serve for evening lights. I'm sure that those living at that time thought these persecutions would only last a few weeks, or maybe a couple of days or something. But week after week, as they went by, families were hunted down, put to death with a sword, crucified, and used as human torches. And this went on for years and years. Now, I don't want this to happen, but are we really ready? Do we think that next Friday everything's going to be better? The same could be said about Joseph with the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. The same story could be said about the Israelites, who were in captivity down in Egypt for 430 years. Or those same Israelite family, descendants, later on being in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, they were in Persia in captivity. 70 years. God's chosen people. We need to settle it now that Jesus is Lord over our lives. Amen? He is Lord. For the most part, those of us living today, we've been so far removed from hardships that faced millions of people during World War I, World War II. We have no idea what it would be like to, when we hear songs like, I'll be home for Christmas, have no idea what that really means. Knowing that they're in a war, they'd like to be home, but they're not going to be home. They're in duty. They've got a duty to fulfill. And I'll be home, but it'll only be in my dreams because I can't leave. I'm here. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. We're removed from the effects of a Great Depression of 1929 when we think it's hard because we have to go to a food bank and get groceries. And have no idea what it was like to stand in soup lines every single day. For weeks, months, years in our country. In the church, well, it's being persecuted too in our country today, but nothing like it's been persecuted around the world since the beginning, where they're hunted down, killed, imprisoned, ridiculed. And that's not to say that we haven't had our own sets of troubles. There's people that are still dealing with the war in Vietnam that they have to deal with on a daily basis, the Gulf Wars, people losing their monies and their retirements and the collapse that happened a few years ago in 2007 and 8, still trying to recover the losses. But what's going to happen to people if 2021, 2022, 2023 is not any better than 2020? Will Jesus still be Lord? Will he still be Lord over this planet? Or will we throw in the towel and say, that's it. I don't know what to believe anymore. It's just, you know, I don't believe in this stuff anymore. Really. Well, how do you think the great falling away will take place in the last days? Now, hopefully, we'll be able to take this message I'm talking about today and throw it in the trash in a couple of weeks, that this is all over with. Won't that be good news? Well, Pastor put a scare in us. I wasn't trying to scare you. I was trying to prepare you. Who's going to be Lord if it goes on for 3 years? If we couldn't run or walk with a horseman, I mean, with a, what's it say? How's it say that? If you can't deal with a footman, how are you going to deal with a horseman? If we're having a rough time now, how's it going to be if it really gets bad? So one of the things that I want to bring out today is this. The first thing you have to do is acknowledge that we're going to have tough times and trials in our life. Jesus said so. Say, Jesus said so. John 16:33, he says, in the world you'll have tribulations. See, it's going to happen. And it's okay. We're all in agreement with it as long as it's over by Friday. We don't want something to stretch out and test our faith. We want something now. Let's be through with it. Let's move on. Other passages, Jesus warns us that in the last days that there'll be wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, disasters, and other diseases and stuff. And we all looked and said, that was 2020. Maybe it's just the beginning of sorrow. The last days will be filled with empty promises. We hear that from politicians all the time. False messiahs. I've got all the answers. Corrupt governments. The last days, we'll see trials and tribulations coming to everybody's house. If we can't handle the footmen, how are we going to handle the horsemen? Jesus wanted his followers to understand the situations that they'd be facing, the times of trials and the sufferings that they're going to go through at their age. And he wants us to understand them during our age, the times that we live in. Of course, this doesn't mean that we should embrace the trials. First time I hear one of you say that, Pastor said, we're just to embrace the trial, I'm going to come and hunt you down. Because we're not to embrace the trial. You embrace Jesus in the midst of the trial. You're not to embrace the disaster, the persecution. We embrace the Lord. Lord, what is it you would have me to do? He don't want us to develop an escapist attitude. Well, I'm just standing back waiting. I'm head off to the side. And, you know, I hear that sound of the trumpet, you know, he'll be here and just snatch us out of here. He doesn't want that. Nor does he want to hear you walk around talking with a defeatist attitude of, well, you know, it's just 2020. Ain't nothing we can do about it. He doesn't want that. What I think he wants us to do is to look at things through the eye of truth, hear with the ear of truth, and to accept things that are truth. How many of you know that the word is truth? When things get bad, we acknowledge, okay, this is bad, but my God's bigger. Yes. The truth is bigger. Yes. We don't have to let it overwhelm us. But we do need to acknowledge it. Okay, I see it. I see that the virus is real. I see that people have died. I see people gotten sick. I see where people have lost their jobs. I see where businesses have shut down. I see where restaurants are having to close. It's affected a lot of people. I recognize it. That's all true. But it ain't bigger than my God. And God set them up, and God can give them another one. And God can take care of it. Shutdowns can cripple our economy. I agree. Close factories, I agree. Shut down stores, I agree. It can do that. All these things are facts. And we're facing it. We don't have our head stuck in the sand somewhere as Christians and say, well, we just act like it didn't happen. No, we are to realize this is taking place. And in the midst of this chaos, we simply don't give up. We say, no, I'm not doing this. Jesus is Lord. He was Lord for them for 7 years of famine in Egypt. He was Lord where the children of Israel would 70 years of captivity in Babylon, and he's my Lord, and it doesn't make any difference about COVID-19. It doesn't make any difference about an economy. It doesn't make any difference about any of it. Yes. He was there when I didn't have anything, and he'll be there when I got plenty. Yes. He was there when I lived like an idiot, and he's there now. And I'm trying to do my best to live righteous, you know. just like you. He's Lord. Settle it now. Because we really, in a couple of days, got to look at some things and say, well, what's the joke going to be? 2020, we're just going to keep, we're not even going to turn it to 2021. We're just going to make up a new month. Start adding days to it. And say, all this badness has got to stay in the same year. We can't have it stretching out over another year. We're just going to enlarge this particular year, add six more months to it. The month of Dave, the month of Becca. Right? No, we're not doing that. We need to look to the Lord. Amen? You and I are definitely created to live in this during this time. Our being here on earth at this present moment is not by accident. It's not by accident. We're here because God chose for us to be here during this time in history. We're here to fulfill God's promises and to be His ambassadors, His representatives. We're here for people to see and recognize that there's some people are believing and living differently than everybody else. We're here to fulfill the great commission of telling people how we're able to live without fear and without fear of dying and losing everything. We are here to live out the abundant life of peace and joy in the midst of this chaos. We're here to reflect God's image and to bring Him glory and honor with our lives. We've got to recognize, if we can recognize these other things, we need to recognize why are we really here. In fact, Jesus tells us that not only can we live victorious during times like this, we can do it on a supernatural level. We need to remember the supernatural. That our God is a supernatural God. And if you're walking around saying, well, it's 2020, now it's just a COVID thing, just a fumble, I done dropped my axe head down in the water, it ain't going to come up. No, 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 my God will cause the axe head to swim back to the surface. My God will send rain in the middle of a drought. It's our place to do what the Word says. It's not that we're not going to face tribulations and hardships. If that's a sign of weakness, Paul was about the weakest guy I know. Man was shipwrecked four times. I still won't get on a boat with him. We get to heaven, I'm like, no, you go by yourself. I'm not riding in a boat with him. Got beat, left for dead, even got snake bit. Today we would look at him and say, well, he ain't got much faith, does he? Got snake bit. Must something be wrong with him. You know, listen. If you don't get COVID, doesn't mean you got great faith. And if you get it, doesn't mean that you got puny. That's what it means. If you get it and you think, well, you know, I didn't get it, I got great faith. Maybe your faith is really not so great. It's so small that Jesus had mercy on you and said, it'll destroy him. I ain't even going to let him have it. Huh? Don't let your head swell up. All you got to do is fall off a ladder, hit your head against a brick wall if you want it swollen. How many of you know that Jesus knows what it means to live during troubled times? If anybody knows, Jesus knows. He lived under Herod the Great, and he lived under his sons. None of these rulers considered to be great advocates of personal freedom and democracy. How many of you know that? These people, these kings, didn't give a flip about nobody but themselves. And they did their best to rule over all the people with an iron fist. Jesus had to live under people like Pontius Pilate. And we have a tendency to think that we're not supposed to have any hardship. And if we do, it's not supposed to last past a week. And you notice that I didn't even make mention of the hurricanes that we had one after another after another. I mean, that's nothing now, is it? A hurricane? Oh, well, you know, it got up to 80 degrees this day, you know. Nothing. It's devastation to those people. It's devastating. This year, Had a bunch, all thrown into one year. But Jesus is still Lord. And if next year, if this continues on in, and it's going to, I'll just tell you now, things are still going to happen. He will still be Lord over my life. And what I want you to decide, make a decision is, will He be Lord over your life in 2021? And from now on, regardless of what you may be facing, settle it now. Don't become weary in the midst of well-doing, weary and fainting in your heart. Stay focused and look to Jesus, who started your faith. He was the author and the finisher and developer of your faith. And do what? Cast these weights off. Cast them off. Cast these burdens aside. Cast these hindrances aside. You can't run well carrying all this stuff. You strip it all off. You get down to the bare necessities, which is what? Jesus is Lord. Amen. With every head bowed and eye closed, nobody looking around. We'll pick back up here next week in 2021. Before we get into that part, let me just say this to those that may be watching online or here this morning. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, I sure wished I could pray with you right now so that you could make Him Lord of your life. Because this is no joke. He loves us so much that He came and endured this earth as a person just like you, just like me. He laid aside His heavenly garments and said, "No, I'm going to come live just like them. I'm going to show them the way. I'm going to show them how. I love them. I'll pay the price for all humanity." So if you're watching online this morning, or you're here, you've got unconfessed sin in your life, just give it to Him. Say, "Lord, I'm bringing this to You. I'm leaving it with You. And I ask You to forgive me. I want You to be Lord of my life. I don't want to be Lord anymore. I want it to be You. So I give my life to You." If that's where you are this morning, I just want to pray for you. Lord, I just thank You right now for those that are hearing this, and that's where they are. That it's sincereness out of their heart. They've come to the end of their life, the end of themselves. And they realize they don't have the strength to go anymore. They know there's nothing behind them. And what's ahead of them doesn't look any different than the troubles and trials they've been having. They look to You, Lord. So give me peace. Allow me to become a son. So Lord, I thank You for them right now. I thank You for each one of them. Give them the words to say, because I know it'll be coming out of their heart. I want to encourage you right where you are, just to go ahead and pray that simple prayer out of your heart. Not a prayer that you might have read or copied from somebody, but just pray out of your heart and let Jesus know that you love Him, that you're sorry, you want to start a new life. For those that are here this morning or listening on Facebook, watching, maybe you've had this misunderstanding in your mind or had this attitude of it'll all be different next week. And you really hadn't came to the place in your life, well, what if it doesn't? What if it lasts all through year 2021 or 22, 23? Will Jesus be Lord then? Lord, my faith is that it'll all be over soon. That we can grow and recognize some things about ourselves, about our duties, about our responsibility as a church, as our responsibility about reaching the lost, our responsibility about being ambassadors of You. That this opens our eyes to see that it's not about the world, it's about You. So, Lord, I thank you. And I declare blessings upon the people today. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, every area of our life. As we submit our life to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to have Peter come and make whatever announcements. I think the announcements will be that we have no announcements because of COVID and so forth. But I want you to know it won't be too long. We'll be saying, it'll be family day and you need to get your food together. And everybody will be saying, I'm not just bringing one dish. I'm bringing 12 dishes to make up for the year that we lost. Talk about a party, right? Everybody be signing up for the games. And everybody be signing up for everything. Why? Because we can. Everybody be fighting over a mop and a broom. I'll help clean up. I'll do this. I'll do that. Everybody be happy. And that'll be great. But I want to say this to you. I want to thank everybody as he preparing to receive the offering today and to bless it. Thank you for your faithfulness and your attendance. Thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. I want to tell everybody online, thank you so much. We're a blessed people. We're a blessed church. And we're here to be a blessing. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.